Hello everyone, Rich here. I thought I'd do an episode on my own this time around just to kind of plug the gaps a bit. And obviously I'm working around trying to get other people on the show at the minute. Adam will be back. We'll still be doing the film and companion pieces episodes. It's just a case of sort of working around other people's schedules. So short episode, I thought I'd grab a stack of Blu-rays off the shelf and base it on some of the films I've watched for the first time, which I thought would be a good one to do. So 10 films in the pile. I've just put them in alphabetical order for now, so if you want to have a listen, and if it's films you've seen, that's fine. If ones that you've not, I'd recommend you hunt them down, whether it's via streaming or Blu-ray or DVD. So first off, I'm going to start with The Belko Experiment. So this is an odd little kind of exploitation piece about a massacre within an office space, which is kicked off by a voice coming over the intercom system, which basically holds everybody within the company to ransom and gives them the challenge of, you've got X amount of time to kill the colleague next to you, otherwise everybody will die. And it's basically one of those films that kind of sets the tension very early on in the film and just turns into this kind of bloodshed. This is a neat little thriller. It's, you know, it's nothing exceptional, but it's a good little fun watch. It's gruesome. It's quite in your face. Best way to sum it up, it is pretty much kind of a violent sort of horror version of The Office, if you like. It's actually directed by Greg McLean, who, if I recall, I'm pretty sure McLean is the one that did Wolf Creek and also did Rogue as well, the crocodile movie from a few years ago. It's also produced by or co-produced by James Gunn as well. So obviously you've got the whole Marvel link there. It's grim, it's violent, it's fast-paced. If you want an easy watch on a Friday or Saturday night, well worth checking out. That's The Belko Experiment. It's an 18 rating. You can pick this up dirt cheap. I think I managed to get it. It might have been in CEX for about £1.50. So it was a bargain. So it was a first time watch. The next one, which I highly recommend, which I don't think many people have come across this. It's a film that took several years to make. It's kind of been in... it's kind of been on the shelf for a few years until I think there was a distributor. And this is a kind of part documentary, part film called Borley Rectory. It's about the most haunted building in the UK. It's narrated by Julian Sands and it stars Rhys Shearsmith from League of Gentlemen and one of my favourite shows, Inside Number 9. And it's also got Jonathan Rigby in it as well. So if you're kind of one of these aficionados that's, you know, real cinephile and into your, you know, your films and your film extras, Jonathan Rigby you'll know as somebody who contributes quite a bit to a lot of the labels and documentaries, specifically on horror. And he is also an actor as well, mainly in theatre, but he fits really well into this. And it's just a very interesting production. It's produced, it's got a very handmade, low-budget feel to it. It's all filmed on green screen. I think the best way to sum this up is if you can imagine an atmospheric documentary version of something like what Robert Rodriguez would be making with Sin City. This is something that's obviously a very British take on that sort of approach to filmmaking. So although it's very, very much a digital piece, it relies heavily on composites and the way it's sort of layered up and the way it creates the atmosphere. It's genuinely got some, you know, pretty creepy scenes in there. But what really makes this Blu-ray is a lot of the documentaries on there. I mean, you're talking, there must be 3 hours worth of documentaries. It's fantastic, which, to be honest, are as good, if not even better, than the actual film itself. And it goes a lot into the history of the building, of Borley Rectory. It supports a lot of the cases that are outlined in there as well. It also goes, introduces you to the Universal Ghosts book as well, which is a huge influence on this film. So, yeah, it's well worth checking out. So, director Ashley Thorpe, this is a film that obviously he's been trying to get distributed and get out there. So, if anything, out of all the films on this pile, this is one that you really should be supporting. And if you can hunt it down, grab it. If it's on any streaming services, fine. But you know, as you know with me, physical media, try and grab the Blu-ray if you can. That's Bawley Rectory. It's fantastic. It's a 12 rating. Next one up, first time watch for me. This is an Arthur Penn film. It's called The Chase. I think this was recommended to me by somebody on the group. And this, the interesting thing about The Chase is what I love about it is it predates Bonnie and Clyde and the kind of influx of the new Hollywood movement of the 1960s. It was made in 1966. And it's a really, really interesting performance from Marlon Brando. And what I like about the performance is it's Marlon Brando, I would say, in the kind of the period where he really is starting. You see how tired he is, and you can probably detect how kind of nonchalant he is and how he's kind of sleepwalking through certain performances. With this, that kind of approach kind of suits the role he's playing. He plays a rather kind of laid-back sheriff who is kind of taken advantage of a bit. And I think the best comparison for this and an interesting companion piece that I would like to do at some point with The Chase is Copland. And I think Marlon Brando, the character that he plays in it, very much an influence on the way Stallone approached his part in Copland. And there is a specific scene in this film which I think is genuinely a standout scene from the history of cinema. And it's Marlon Brando's character. This isn't spoiling too much, but there is a scene in it where he gets heavily beaten. And it's absolutely brutal. And as I said, because it kind of predates Bonnie and Clyde that Arthur Penn went on to make, which I think was the year after, It really does highlight how they were pushing on-screen violence then. And what's interesting about this is the input that Brando had in trying to make every hit count. And what happened was they were figuring out a way of how they could make the impacts look real. And Brando suggested that if he feigns or goes with the punches, it was a case of slowing everything down and then cranking the camera up afterwards, so it actually balanced out to the correct speed. So he is actually being hit, but he's being hit at a slower pace. But when you actually watch the film and it's cranked to the speed it's supposed to be, it's really, really dramatic, and it's really effective. It really does stand up. It's an early performance from Jane Fonda. There's early performances from Robert Redford as well. You might recognize some of the footage out of Robert Redford's last film, The Old Man and the Gun, which they kind of pull images out of for this particular film. So definitely check out The Chase. Absolutely fantastic film, and just a really good film which fits into kind of the civil rights era as well. Next one up, we've got Cheap Thrills. This is a cult movie. It's an exploitation piece. It very much fits into the whole outlaw cinema label that Rebella Media are pushing at the moment. It's Dallas Sonnier's production arm, which is going to be releasing its first film, I think, towards the end of this year, early next year, called Run, Hide, Fight. Keep an eye out for that film. That's going to be something that I am sure is going to push a lot of buttons. It's essentially going to be about a girl who fights back in a high school massacre. Really sensitive subject matter, and I'm pretty sure, you know, it will get criticised. Cheap Thrills, great film. It's an unemployed chap down on his luck. His risk of his house being pulled from under him. He can't keep up the payments. He loses his job. He goes and drowns his sorrows in a bar, and he basically bumps into an old friend of his from school who is pretty much taken completely the opposite path, where he's set on a path from school of, you know, making honest work for himself. This guy is basically just doing any job he can find, whether it's you know, drug dealing or whatever he can do, robbing houses. So there's a little bit of tension there between the two of them. But what happens is a third character comes into this who, for some reason, which you don't really find out about, he's wealthy. He has a lot of money. You assume he's got this through this method he's got of placing bets. And what happens is he sets these two people on a course with it through the film, which just gets worse and worse and worse. And every time he asks them to, for instance, it starts off with necking a shot of tequila. He says, first one to do it, $50. First one does it, it moves on to the next bet, and to the point where they go home to his to see, you know, this wealthy house he lives in, and he bets all kinds of things, and it just gets to the point where people are losing parts of their body, and it sounds grim. It is. It's an exploitation piece, but it's surprisingly inventive and engaging, and it's a good little neat story, and it's got a good payoff as well. So check that out. That's Cheap Thrills. Pretty sure you can actually get this still on Blu-ray if you hunt it down, potentially DVD or even streaming as well. Next one up, in light of all the Batman talk and the reveal of the new Batman suit, we've got The Childhood of Alida. This is again a first time watch for me. Great film with Robert Pattinson in. He doesn't have a massive role in it, but the role he plays is significant. It bookends, and it very much it is a performance that will hopefully help kind of remove people from what he's most well known for, and see beyond Twilight and see him in more serious roles, especially if you've not seen, you know, the likes of The Lighthouse or Good Time or anything like that. But I mean, this film is it's a 12. It's certainly a high end 12. It's grim, it's cold, it's imposing. It's actually directed by Brady Corbett. Now, you'll probably know him more from films like Funny Games US, Michael Haneke's remake. And this is, I'm pretty sure, his directorial debut. And it's really accomplished. It's a really tense piece that studies the origins of a dictator. It's fictitious, but you can tell it's kind of based on particular characters in history. So that's Childhood of a Leader, also starring Liam Cunningham, who you'll probably obviously recognise from the likes of Game of Thrones. Great actor. Definitely check that out. Brilliant, brilliant film. Next up, we have Hallis and Bachelor short film collection from Network on Air. Really impressed with what they're producing. This is a label that I feel doesn't really get enough of a shout out, and it produces restorations and releases that kind of fly under the radar, but they do just as good a job. They do just as good a job with their work as anyone like Arrow or Second Sight and Eureka. And I think with this as well, because it is a collection of short animations that have kind of I kind of been hidden for a long time. I mean, there are the odd ones that I recognise and that I can remember, but for the most part, all of these animations on this disc, and there's a lot of them, they look so pristine and ahead of their time, and some of the techniques that Hallis and Bachelor were using at the time were really to kind of push the boundaries of animation. I mean, they're pretty much known as the British Walt Disney. And for those of you that kind of want references to the more familiar work, you've obviously got the likes of Animal Farm, which is what they're most well known for. And this explores a lot of the commercial work that they produce, which, you know, highly politicized and touches upon things which I feel are completely relevant today. And you can see, even with the work from the late 50s and into the 60s, that the things that they had to say and they were observing about the world were just leagues ahead of most animation companies out there. Kind of harkens back to a lot of the work that Walt Disney was doing, I guess, during the war period and the war efforts. But it's intriguing. It's animation that I think is incredibly important, but that more people need to see, and need to see that kind of evolution of the process, the theory, but I think also the thoughts that went into these films, the ideas and the concepts to tell what I think were quite important little stories. And that's the great thing about it, emphasis on little. These are really short little animations, and they get very, very powerful messages across. So definitely check that out. That's the Hallis and Bachelor short film collection. Reasonably cheap. The best place to get them is to go straight to the Network on Air website. And they always sell their Blu-rays at very, very reasonable prices. You can order directly from them. Next up, we have a recent film which is currently on at the cinema. I happened to get this on import from the States on Blu-ray, and this is another Robert Pattinson film with Willem Dafoe called The Lighthouse, which I thought was fantastic. I think it probably could have gone either way with me as to how I was going to accept this film. It's quite outlandish. It is very much in the vein of the other work that Robert Eggers has produced, just The Witch, and I would say it's quite close to the likes of Ari Aster, Hereditary, Midsummer Fame, or Infamy, I should say. And there's things in this film which, yeah, will really kind of, you know, your jaw will be on the floor. You'll be seeing certain imagery and you'll be thinking, oh my God, where is this going? There's kind of hints of Lovecraft, but it's way more than that. I would say, I bought this at the same time I bought Bait, which is another good recommendation. And I think that although those two would make a natural companion piece episode and you could talk about those films, I think this film would be a more interesting double bill with the likes of Cold Skin. Cold Skin, little indie film from a few years ago, which again kind of deals with creatures from the sea and two men going mad in a confined space, and lighthouses being the obvious reference as well. I'll say Cold Skin is a much easier watch. It's something that rattles along a lot quicker. It's not an art house film, but they absolutely do complement each other. So if you do want a double bill, check out Cold Skin and then maybe watch The Lighthouse as well afterwards. This is a lot, kind of takes its time, this film, and a good exploration of character, but my word, some of the visuals are so striking in there. So yeah, definitely check The Lighthouse out. If it's still on at the cinema, head on out and watch it on the big screen. Right, next up, we have quite possibly my favourite discovery of the last year. Now, I will talk about this in more detail on an up-and-coming episode, which I have on the shelf, ready to release at the right moment. And it will be a survival episode. And this is a film called The Naked Prey by Cornel Wilde. Now, some people might recognise Cornel Wilde as an actor. He was in The Big Combo. He's the main detective in that film. And he actually had a directorial career as well in the 1960s, right up to, up to the 70s. But this film in particular, easily the best I've seen of the two films I've seen that he's directed. And what is quite remarkable about this film is, A, it's a 12, and I have no idea how this is a 12, because some of the imagery and what happens in this film is so extreme and real. There is footage in this film which is taken directly from elephants that have been massacred and like local tribes, you know, they're literally kind of walking into the carcasses of elephants and getting whatever resources they can from them. But it essentially tells the story of a sort of colonial who's over in Africa, and this chap and his posse, if you like, they get what's coming to them. You know, they're kind of abusing the local tribes, and they are caught and they're taken back to the local community, and in no time at all, his men are dispatched with. There is one really iconic scene of one of his men who is literally covered in clay, put on a spit and rotated around while he's covered in clay and basically roasted. And it's just one of the most disturbing things you'll ever see. Let me remind you, this is a 12. You're not going to believe what you're seeing. But it basically moves on to Cornel Wilde's central character, because he plays the lead as well, who is basically given time, a head start, and chased across the plains of Africa by the local tribe. And it is a beautiful, beautiful film. It's stunningly photographed. It's a lot of sort of nature and documentary style footage, which they obviously took time to film as well. And it looks incredible. It's from Eureka Masters of Cinema. Which is one of my favorite labels. And yeah, it looks pristine. You can see every bead of sweat. And what I love about it is, even though this tribe and the things that they do are, you know, things that make you, you know, your eyes, you won't believe what you're seeing, but there's something very human about them, despite what they're doing. And really the inhumanity of both the white and black man in this film. But I personally think that the way this is filmed and the way that the tribal characters are painted in this film is that you understand everything they say. There are no subtitles. You understand everything they say despite that they're talking in their own language. And you understand everything they say just by how they are communicating through their eyes and how they're reacting to things. And yeah, it's an absolutely brilliant, brilliant film. Easily the best film I've discovered this year, within this last year. And it's easily one of my favourite films of all time. It's gone straight in there. It's absolutely fantastic. Can't recommend it highly enough. That's The Naked Prey. Next up, we have one I've seen recently. This is The Nightingale. And this is Jennifer Kent's latest of Babadook fame. And wow, what a gripping film this is. It really is a tense piece of work, and it's grueling, and it's a really tough watch. And yes, there is a scene in there which is practically unbearable. I can imagine people just switching it off and not carrying on with it. Please do. It's rewarding, and it tells you a lot about Australian history. It tells you a lot about, what the white man has done to other cultures. And, you know, if you are educated enough, you will know very clearly what we have done when we have gone into other countries and, you know, raped the women, the men, the land, everything. This film is not just a film about a woman who is seeking vengeance against what happens to her. It's very much a film that speaks to and speaks about the history of a culture, and it paints a bleak picture, but it paints a relevant picture. And I would hope, and with the intention of Jennifer Kent's film, that she's really trying to get the message across and tell a very clear story and a respectful story about indigenous tribes and basically people who are lost and trying to find something. What a powerful piece of work. This would have easily gone in my top 10 of last year if I'd have seen it before Christmas. Again, I got this on import. It is released in the UK, but it's only been released on DVD, which they seem to be doing a lot now, where they're kind of skipping the HD content. If you've got a multi-region Blu-ray player, absolutely get The Nightingale. The interesting thing about the way it's shot is it's using the old Academy ratio, so it's not in a widescreen format. It's really boxed in and really focused. And it's a fantastic piece of work, but be warned, there are a lot of trigger warnings in there. It really is a very, very tough watch. And going from tough watches to probably the easiest watch and a film that that's really stood out to me again. It's just a really easy, lovely watch and study of a time or a couple of times and places within 20th century America. And this is a film by Todd Haynes, who's always really good. And it's called Wonderstruck. And this is essentially about two young people who live in America, live in New York. And what we get here, similar to films like The Hours, is two intersecting time periods. So we cut back and forth to a young girl in the 1930s. And that's played by Millicent Simmons, who is actually a deaf actress. You might recognise her from A Quiet Place and the up-and-coming sequel. And also there's a young boy. It's set in the 1970s. And it's really about how these two lives cross and how they're linked. but it's beautifully shot, as you would expect from Todd Haynes. The cinematography is just incredible. The set pieces are beautiful. It's just a really lovely, immersive story. And I think if you are like me, and you may have quite an eclectic taste, and you know, if you want some respite from, you know, some of the harsh films you can, you know, find yourself immersed in, such as things like The Nightingale, this would be the perfect detox. It's a PG, and Julianne Moore's in it. It's worth watching just for her, because she's always brilliant. But I tell you who else is in it as well, who crops up. And again, he's never in enough, I don't think. I think it's Tom Noonan, if you remember him from some of the 80s, 90s films like Manhunter. He plays the original Red Dragon, and obviously he's Kane as well in Robocop 2. But it's very rare he plays a good guy. He plays, he can play characters and that are gentle and, you know, are quite touching. And I don't think he's used in that way enough. And I want to see him in more roles like that, because I think he's a really, really good actor. And he was in one of my favourite TV series, which I will always harp on about, called Hell on Wheels. And he was fantastic in that as a conflicted preacher. And yeah, get him in more roles like that. He's fantastic. So that's it. That's the stack that I wanted to kind of share with you today. You know, I could have looked at the likes of RoboCop and American Werewolf in London, all these recent Arrow releases, but they're kind of films that obviously I'm very familiar with, and we've all seen them. But these, I just wanted to share some films that I'd seen for the first time. I'll be back. I'll probably do this again and plug the gaps until the next episode comes out. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy some of these films I've recommended, and I'll see you all soon. See you next time.
That's just a sample of the films to come. You can't please all the people all the time, but we hope we'll please most of you most of the time. Anyway, see you soon.